couple of them.
The spiritual checklist, it's also on the site. It also has the site on here where you can find the podcasts and the thoughts on recovery and resources. Tonight we're going to look at, we finished step 10 and 11 in the big book. We spent quite a few weeks on it. And tonight we're going to read from Carrying This Message by Joe McHugh. But by the way, if you have any question about what AA approved literature is, look on the site. It's one of the first thoughts I did on what AA approved literature is. Because you hear, oh, I can't read this. It's not AA approved literature. That's a misnomer. And there is no official AA approved literature that can and cannot be read at meetings. That's a misrepresentation of what it means. It means that they don't have the circle and triangle anymore, and they make it approve the cell and put AA on the book. And Bill W. said, anything you can read at a meeting that will help you get more close to your creator is welcome. Dr. Bob read the Sermon on the Mount at the first meeting in Akron. And so there's a lot of misnomers if you get on the site. I wrote a really good thought on that. Carrying This Message by Joe. Joe McHugh, in 1979, he met Charlie Parker, I believe, Charlie Parmalee from Arkansas at an AA, at an Al-Anon meeting convention, actually. And they both had interest in the big book. And they started meeting and writing and studying the book together. And eventually, in 1980, they did a meeting in Wichita from the Kansas State Conference. And they talked on the first four chapters of the book. And then they went to the World Congress, and somebody handed out Joe and Charlie tapes. And then the rest is history. They did about 35 meetings a year for about 15 years. Charlie did them for over 20. Joe got older and couldn't go, and they had a second Joe. A lot of people have listened to the Joe and Charlie tapes. The one on XA Speakers is actually the second Joe. If you want to hear Joe talk and tell a story, there's tapes on Stories of Recovery and also on XA Speakers. They changed the way people saw the book. They came at a time when the treatment centers were dominating. There were groups, there was therapy, there was a lot of information that wasn't directly related to the big book. They kept the big book alive. In fact, that's what they called their meetings, keeping the big book alive. And I know they changed my life, as I said in my story when I first listened to them. Mike H. down there gave me those CDs, and when I listened to Joe and Charlie, I said, wow, I've been going to meetings for 5 years, and I had no idea what the program was all about. It's changed my life. And then, of course, when Curtis died, God actually literally told me, I can't tell you if he was speaking English or Aramaic, but the thought came in my head that, Michael, you're going to do big book meetings in Topeka so people will have the instructions so they don't have to die. They can follow the instructions and then they can recover. And I think we probably helped one or two in the 10 years we've been doing this. Certainly helped me a lot. There's two books, The Steps We Took. When I started these meetings, I bought, actually my wife says, 110 of them. Passed them out through the years. We'd read from The Steps We Took on Sunday nights. Then we also started reading from Carry This Message. Now we do the big book at all three of the meetings, and we intersperse it with this. Carry This Message is really particularly good because it's written as if you're the sponsor, how you're talking to the sponsee, and if you're the sponsee, how you're looking at this with your sponsor. So you can look at it either way. And we're going to read Continuing to Grow, which is the 10th, 11th, and 12th step. It's really, really good. Very, very good information. And so we'll probably spend several weeks on this. So if you're coming back next week, bring it with you. And I made a lot of copies. So next week, if you don't bring it, and you're somebody new, I'll have some more. So it says, Continuing to Grow. It says, I was to test my thinking by my new God consciousness within. Now, we talk about God consciousness on page 86, when we're finishing step 10, it says we have a sixth sense now. We're God conscious. And he says, common sense would then become uncommon sense. I was to sit quietly when in doubt. That's facing indecision. I just wrote a thought on that on Friday. That's on page 86. When we have indecision, we meditate during the day. Then we're going to ask God for the right thought and action. Asking only for direction and strength to meet my problems as he would have me. And I believe this is from Bill's story, and I believe it's page 13, but I'm getting old. I could have it wrong. It's where he takes the steps in Towns Hospital in 1934, November. It's page 13. And so they talk about step 10. It's on the wall. It's in the big book. It says, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. Now, look at the word continued. This is step 10, and we're going to talk about how step 10 is a continuation of 1 through 9. Now, continued or continuous means it never ends. It's continuous. You never get to the point where you don't continue. Now, alcoholics do. You know how they do that? They tell themselves they don't need to continue. Something tells them that they don't need to do it anymore. They're okay. They've been sober a long time, and you know, let's not make too much of this. Something tells them not to continue the effort that they put in, and the ego starts to rebuild. So it says, continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. Now, for years, before I understood the steps, I would just say, well, I'm going to tell everybody I'm wrong all the time. That really is not what this is about. I'm going to inventory my mind. And when my thinking is wrong, and I've learned that it's wrong because of the fourth step, it says we take a searching and fearless moral inventory of myself. Anybody ever heard that before? Yeah. And it says when we were wrong, no, it says we admit to God, myself, and another human being the exact nature of my wrongs. The wrongs are my wrong thinking, fear, resentment, my conduct, shame and guilt as a result. And we learn how to envy that. So when I'm looking at my mind and when I'm getting into self, I have to properly admit it to me and God and get out of it. And so it's watching for self appearing all day long. And I admit it to myself with God. And when we're in the 10th step, we're watching with God. We're in the world of the spirit now. So I'm not alone. So when I start seeing self come up, God's there to say, hey, Michael, you don't want to go there. Let's watch for fear, selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and inconsideration. So that's step 10. And it says step 11 is sought through prayer and meditation to improve my conscious contact with God. Now, it doesn't say to gain a conscious contact with God. The purpose of the first 9 steps in living in step 10 is to have a relationship with God. Now, why is that important for me? If I don't have conscious means to be awake to God, then I have no power in my life. That means I'm living on self-will, and I have no power not to drink again. And I don't have any power to live. So I'm not only seeking to continue to watch my mind for when it gets into self, I'm going to constantly seek through prayer and meditation to improve my relationship with God as we understood him. And we're praying only. Do you think they meant only? Only for knowledge of his will for me and the power to carry that out. Knowledge of his will for me. I want to know what God's will is for me, and I want to carry that out. I don't want to carry out Michael's will anymore, and I don't want to know anymore about Michael's will. That got me into trouble. And I had power to carry out Michael's will, but it didn't work well. It misfired. Did anybody else have that problem? And so we're constantly seeking in 10 and 11 to maintain a relationship with God, to stay out of self, to improve our relationships with the world, and to improve our relationship with God. Then step 12, a lot of people say, well, step 12 is, you know, you take somebody to the meeting, you pick them up, you invite them to come to the group. But step 12 has 3 specific parts. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps. Now notice the word had. Having had, as a result of the steps, you get a spiritual awakening. Well, what the hell is that? Well, spiritual awakening means that I have a relationship with something that's greater than me that I can rely on, that I can depend on, that I can count on. And the best thing about that relationship with that power greater than me is if I think about getting a drink, this power will say, bad idea, bad idea. And so I can think through the drink when I have a real spiritual awakening, and when I'm spiritually asleep, I can't think it through. And the spiritual awakening also helps me be awake to the person God created and the person I can be, and I don't have to be the other person anymore. It gives me a power to live. So that's the only result of the steps. A lot of people talk about everything, but if you have a spiritual awakening, then like Jim said, your life is going to be better. You'll be happy, joyous, and free. You won't be dominated by fear and resentment and shame and guilt and harming yourself and others. And so that's the first part of step 12. The second is you try to carry this message to alcoholics. Well, what is the message? If your life is crap, do the steps and see what happens. It will get better. Do the steps. Give up all your ideas why they're not going to work for you. Give it 100% effort and then tell us what happens. And that's the spiritual awakening. I can't tell you what it's going to look like for you. I can only tell you what it looks like for me. But I want to tell you, it's great. And it's so good that I keep doing the steps all the time because I want to continue to improve my contact. So that's the second part. And the other thing, and I think Jim said it well, is I am a spiritual awakening. I'm an example of it, you know, good or bad, but that's God's changed me. I know Mark's an example of it. There are other people in the room. I know them well. They're an example of what happens when they work these steps and how their lives change. And then here's one that's not talked about a lot. It's kind of hidden. Practice these principles at all our affairs. The spiritual awakening and carrying the message is not going to be worth anything if you're not practicing the principles, because then nothing will change unless you take the action. And then there are people who argue about what the principles are and this and that. And the principles are spiritual principles, and they're on the right-hand side of this card. Am I practicing love, interest in others, courage, consideration, humility, giving and sharing, doing for others, moderation, patience, and tolerance, forgiveness? Am I doing that in all my affairs? What am I being? What am I carrying into every interaction I have? So that's the 10th and 11th and 12th steps. And he says here, we learn by listening. And we listen to others' experience. We listen to how people teach the steps, how people go through the book. You listen to your sponsor telling you what they did. We learn by example of what others have done or are doing. And this book is a testimony of what they did. And so when you read this, you're reading an example of what happened to these people who wrote this book in 1939. Before 1939, there was no hope for me. There's no hope for me. There's nothing people could do. They locked us up. Which asylum you going to? I'm going to try this one out. You know, it's just, there was no place and there was no social system like we had today. There was no welfare. There was no Medicare. There was nothing. We were really in bad shape in the late 30s after the Depression. And then we learned by experience. We learned by our experience. We learned by right and wrong, right? What we're doing, learning, and becoming. And we learned by showing someone else, and that's even more important. Because the more you try to show someone else, the more you learn and the more you do. So that's what steps 10, 11, and 12 are all about. It's a good review. And now he talks about step 10. And step 10 is not a new step. In a way, it's a summary of all the steps that have come before. Now, I've mentioned that a million times. When we get to page 84, it says we've entered the world of the Spirit. Now, has anybody been to a meeting and heard the promises? Well, then the ninth step promises that come when you're in the ninth step and you're entering the world of the Spirit. No entering the world of the Spirit, no promises. There's a promise. If you're not in the world of the Spirit, you're in your world. And you take all the promises and you turn them around, and that's what you have. You have no serenity. You have no peace, you see? And so people don't understand that. The purpose of the steps is to get you to a place where these promises come true. It takes action. And then in step 10, you're in the world of the spirit and you want to stay there. Anybody like the promises? They sound good. Well, if you want the promises in your life, you have to work step 10 and have worked step 1 through 9 the best you can. And then you're going to continue to work steps 4 through 9 the rest of your life at step 10, so you don't have to do a perfect job. A lot of people don't want to do it because they won't do it right, or they're not ready, or they're not good enough yet, and all this stuff. You need to do it if you really want to change. If you don't want to change, don't do it. And it says, step 10 is how we continue to grow. And what we're growing is understanding and effectiveness. That's what it says on page 84. And what we're growing in understanding is of God's will for me, and effectiveness of how I carry out God's will, you see? And then in step 11, it says we want to improve on that. The book's very simple. It's very consistent. If I'm doing God's will every day and getting his power to carry it out, my days are going to be good. And it says how we continue to grow. It's a way to live. Now, on page 45, they told us that I had no power to live. Remember that? And it says lack of power. That's my problem. And it's not that I don't have a power just drink. I have no power on how to live, how to live effectively. I have no design for living. And step 10 is where we're living in a world where we have power now, and our lives are different. It says we want to remain sober, and I wrote emotionally sober. A lot of people are sober for years and miserable, but we want to be emotionally sober. Some people can stay sober with the grace of God. They don't drink, but nothing's changed. They haven't had a change in their personality. And it says we have to continue to grow. Why? Because it says alcohol is a cunning, baffling and foe. It's a mortal enemy, right? Mm-hmm. And alcohol in the bottle is a mortal foe, because if I don't stay emotionally sober and I live in restless, irritable discontent and anger and fear and shame and guilt, alcohol will seem like a good idea, right? And then who's going to say bad idea if I have no relationship with God? Now, you're not going to... When people relapse after 10 years, I don't think they say, I'm irritable, restless, and discontent, and I haven't worked the steps, and I'm selfish and self-centered, and I'm separated from God, and I have no power to live. Into their mind comes the idea that a drink makes sense. And if they have no relationship with God, then they have no power against that. It can happen at one day, it can happen at 3 days, it can happen at 30 years. And so we don't want that to happen. It says we can't just maintain. I heard people say these are maintenance steps. it says, even though step says 11 says we have a daily reprieve contingent on the maintenance of our spiritual condition. That's on page 85. That's actually in the 10th step instructions. It says alcohol is a cunning foe. We're not cured of alcohol, remember? But I have a daily reprieve, which means stay of execution contingent on the maintenance of my spiritual condition. Now, in the sentence before, they say that I have to have fit spiritual condition if I'm going to react sanely to alcohol. So what we're really talking about here is how do I maintain a fit spiritual condition? Now, does anybody like to exercise a lot and they're very good at it, something? Well, you do that, you build up a level, right? You take a week off and you go back and you're not the same. You take 2 weeks off, you're not the same. And how many weeks can you take off working the steps before alcohol will seem like a good idea? You see? And it says, although we sometimes hear them referred to as maintenance steps, this is not a maintenance scene as holding steady once and for all. It's a maintenance through growing. And I wrote, I need to maintain fit spiritual condition. And I wrote, my self-centeredness is a mortal foe. It's not alcohol for me, it's my self-centeredness. And it says, maintaining our spiritual condition requires growth. Everything in nature either grows or withers. We don't continue to grow spiritually in our sobriety, we're going to get worse. And if I'm not growing spiritually, getting worse is life without God. back in the self, fear, anger, shame, and guilt. And I want to go now back to the end. I wrote this. I want everybody to turn to this diagram. And then I'm going to go through this. It's at the end. And then we'll open it up, and then we'll pick up here next time. Everybody see this? The world of my alcoholism. It's the back of the handout. Got it?
Yep.
Very complicated. All right, now I use this, we did a meeting on the world of the spirit and how we go from where we are when we come in here to the world of the spirit. And the world of my alcoholism is this circle in which it's my world. It's the world I live in where I play God. Anybody remember that? And I play God and I'm separated from God. And I try to fix the world so I can be okay. Anybody do that? I had this delusion that I could be happy if I would manage well. And I would try to get what I thought I needed to be okay, remember? Now what happened? When I lived that way, I was restless, irritable, and discontented. It means nothing, I wasn't content with life. I couldn't reach that state where I would be okay. And then I had anger, fear, shame, and guilt, and harmful actions. Isn't that what we inventory in step four? And so if I'm in that world, the result of that is that I'm not going to feel good, and I'm going to be full of anger and fear, and I'm going to harm people. So this is the world I'm in when I came in here. I can get back in that world today if I stop doing the steps. And so I put an arrow, not very good at this, you know, I'm a doctor, I don't do this well. I put an arrow, it steps, I wrote steps 1 to 3 move me out of this world. See, step one is where I realize I don't want to be in this world anymore. It's hopeless for me. And I'm willing to believe I can leave this world because I see people have done it, and then I make a decision that I'm going to get the hell out of there. I don't want to live in the world where I'm running the show anymore. Anybody remember this? Does this make sense? So step one, I put an arrow, willingness to change, believe I can change, and a decision to change. I'm beginning to move out. And it says, we're building this arch. Now this little thing here is actually an arch to freedom. Don't everybody laugh at the same time. And so I move out of this world, I'm building this arch. And the arch to freedom, the bottom of that arch is willingness, step one. The cornerstone is the belief in step two, and the keystone is step three. Now, I have finished the arch with the actions of 4 through 9. Now, they talk about this arch throughout the book, remember? We're building an arch to freedom from the bondage itself. And so this brings me into God's world. So if I do 4 through 9, I'm out of this circle and I'm into this circle. And this is what they mean by the world of the spirit. Now, how long do you want to stay in steps 1, 2, 3? You're a little bit out of this world that you created before you get to the world of the spirit. How are you going to not do 4 through 9? You see, you have to build the arch. And pretty quickly, if you don't start on next and at once, remember step 4, remember? They give you a time limit. When you make a decision to change, how long do they tell you to take next and at once? So if you don't do next and at once, you start slipping back. Steps 1 to 3 will not permanently remove you from this world that you came in here. And then nothing changes. Then people drink again, and they say, hey, it didn't work for me. So steps 4 through 9 bring me into the world of the spirit. And when you're halfway through 9, the promises come true. And the world of the spirit is the real world. That's the world where God has been the whole time. And where God's my director, and I'm following him, and I'm following his role and doing his job, and includes him and everything connected. And so that's the world that exists, but I created the other world. Did anybody else do that? See, it says we're separated from the world and everyone in it. Remember, the only problem we have in AA, all alcoholics only have one problem. It's not alcohol. They have conscious separation from God. We move into this world, and when we're consciously separated from God, nothing works. And the solution is conscious contact with God. We got to move into the circle. Now, Chuck C. talked about that all the time. So how do we get back with God? We do steps 1 through 9. And then we're in the real world. Now, how do we stay here? Anybody want to stay there? That's a good place. The promise is coming true. The obsession's removed. I wrote, you're not fighting alcohol. You're in fit spiritual condition. You have to stay there with steps 10, 11, and 12. If you don't do that, you won't stay in the world of the Spirit. And so this is really the whole deal. I mean, it's not professionally done, forgive me. But to me, this is what the whole book is about. You start with the step 1, and when you come in here, you have no idea of this. But the book explains it. It talks to you about what step 1 means, how you're powerless over alcohol, how you can't manage your own life, you're self-centered, you're separated from God, you have no power not to drink again. And then they give you the directions we read tonight and how it works. And then they tell you to do these steps, and then the promises are on page 83. And then 84 through 88 is how you live in this world. I live in those pages. If you follow those directions in those pages, they're very simple, your life will be okay. It doesn't mean you're not going to make mistakes and not have bad days and not get fear, anger, upset. But for the most part, things will be a lot better. And the more you do step 10, 11, 12, the better you get at it and the less your days are bad. And it's all represented by this card, that you'll stay on this side of the card more than this side. So I thought we'd stop there and open up, and then if you can bring it back, there's fantastic information in these pages. And so if you bring it back, we'll go through it next week.
Thanks, Michael. Laid off.